You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Dale Gentry.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church on a Sunday morning. This is the first Sunday morning in October. I'm going to welcome my wife, Jean, to come up. We're going to pray. Boy, it is raining. The old saying we would say in way back in Oklahoma, it's raining cats and dogs, isn't it, Jean?
It is. It's pouring.
It is. We awoke this morning to, we had lots of rain. We were in a drought here in Austin, Texas, and now God is sending the rain. So we're thankful for the rain. We're getting plenty of it. It's pouring in Austin. And so we're praying. We've been praying for natural rain. Now we're praying for spiritual rain, aren't we, Jean?
That's right. And welcome, Breakout family. We're so thankful for all of you today.
Yeah.
So thankful that you're joining us.
Yes. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church this morning. And, of course, we're broadcasting live from our ministry center here in Austin, Texas. And Breakout Radio Church is a global church without walls. We're comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We're a house of prayer for all nations. That's what we're doing, aren't we, Jean?
That's right. We're praying.
We're preaching and praying.
That's right.
And for over 30 years, we traveled across America, around the world, almost every week in a different church. But here we are giving ourselves to Breakout Radio Church, except for special events. And we're just delighted to have you as a member of Breakout Radio Church. If you're visiting Breakout Radio Church and you'd like to be a member, of course, you can go to our website at bpnradio.com. That's bpnradio.com. Go to Breakout Radio Church, and there's a membership link right there. And I've been praying for every member of our church today. I called every one of your names in prayer early this morning. I was up before 5 o'clock today praying. And I've been praying for you. And Gene and I are going to lead in prayer as we start the program today. Remember, I have a special message for all of you husbands today, so it's going to be a great day. But our hearts are filled with thanksgiving this morning. Brett Kavanaugh was sworn in last night as a United States Supreme Court Justice. We have been praying and praying and praying for him and his wife Ashley and their two daughters. And I just want to thank all of you that called your senators and had your family to pray. And we just believe that this is a victory for all Christians, victory for religious liberty, for the Second Amendment, for the sanctity of life. And so we want to pray for Judge Kavanaugh as he starts his new tenure on the Supreme Court this week. We're going to pray for revivals across America for local churches and pastors today. We also have some other needs that we want to pray about. Jean and I want you to pray for our grandson, Jordan Greenlee.
Yes.
He's going through an incredible situation in his life, and we need prayer for our grandson, Jordan Greenlee. We also want to pray for Gene and Sally Massey. Their son, Mitchell, was a man tried to murder him this past week. He was shot in the shoulder twice. Of course, Gene is an elder at Breakout Radio Church, and his son, Mitchell, is recovering. And we're thankful that God spared his life. This man intended to murder him, but he is recovering from gunshot wounds. We need to pray for Eugene Bullard, who's a member of our church that needs prayer. He's having some procedures done. Anita Rogers, we need to continue to pray for her. We want to pray for all of you members of Breakout Radio Church that will be preaching on Preaching Sunday today on bpnradio.com. And that includes Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn and Donald Brown and Michael Sean Bourne and B.K. Jones and James Parker and Tammy Logan, Eugene Bullard. Oh, and we want to pray for the service today. We've got a lot to pray for, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But we believe in prayer.
Yes.
And that's how we started the ministry 52 years ago. We started praying. So, Father, Eugene and I just set ourselves in agreement for the service today.
Yes.
Here at Breakout Radio Church, we pray, Lord, for this service today, that you would anoint our spiritual ears to hear, that you would anoint our spiritual eyes to see, that you would anoint our hearts to receive. I pray that you would anoint me, your servant, and the man you've called, along with the woman you've called, to lead Breakout Radio Church. But you would anoint me to preach today.
Yes.
We pray for Judge Brett Kavanaugh as he starts his tenure on the Supreme Court. We pray for those who will be preaching on Preaching Sunday. We pray for other members of Breakout Radio Church that's supposed to preach on Preaching Sunday, that has a message to preach on a weekly basis. We pray, Lord, for healing. We pray for our grandson, Jordan Greenlee. We pray for Massey Mitchell. And we pray for others that need prayer today, those that are members of our church, or maybe those that are visiting Breakout Radio Church, and you have a special need. You've gone through trouble, trials. My pastor said for so many years, there's no trouble like trouble that comes our way. And whatever trouble has come your way today, we pray for you. We pray the Holy Ghost would touch you and minister to you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, God bless you for joining us today. And Zach Brown is going to, excuse me. We have a man that's going to lead us in praise and worship, and his name is Zach Williams, not Zach Brown. And we're thankful he's going to lead us in and one of our favorite songs, and God is a chain breaker. And some of those of you that are facing all kinds of bondages in your life or deliverance in your life or a member of your family, God is a chain breaker. And so Zach Williams is going to lead us in praise and worship, and then I'm going to preach the word.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fire. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking. Chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it. If you receive it, if you can feel it.
Father, we thank you for that, Lord. We know that you are a chain breaker, and we just declare in Jesus' name that chains are being broken in lives today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now before I start preaching for everyone that's going through difficult times today, in the name of Jesus, those who are in bondage, those that have family members that are in bondage, Lord, we know today that you are a chain breaker in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would just anoint me, your servant, to declare this word today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm gonna preach a while, and then we're going to pray a while and see what the Holy Spirit would like to say to us today. Ephesians 5, here's what it says: submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as this church is subject to Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Here's another translation that says, out of respect for Christ, be courteous and reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the whole church. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness, and that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor, since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church, and this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. A husband is to lay down his life for his wife. He is to sacrifice how his own interests to enhance hers. He is to nourish her, to cherish her, which means to warmly care for her, to provide a mutually loving environment and atmosphere for her to dwell in. So, I want to minister to you husbands on how to minister to your wives. And the way, the example that we have is how Christ ministers to the church. Christ is the husband and the wife is the church. And he leads by example. And he wants to set the example. And Jesus Christ followed the example of his father, Jehovah. And, you know, we have so many materials today, so many books today, so many different articles on the internet about husbands. And so many of those are not a true picture of Christ and the church. There is a lot of confusion today concerning the husband and the wife. And, you know, when we follow the example of Jesus and the example that God, his father, set down for him, then we know that we have a true picture. So many men, when they grew up, did not have a picture of how a father was to treat his wife. You know, when Gene and I got married as teenagers way back when, we've been married for 57 years, you know, I didn't have any instructions. We didn't have any books on marriage. There was no, we didn't hear any teaching about marriage. Most of it was just about legalism. And we didn't know anything about marriage counseling. And the only picture I really had was the picture of my father. And my father was not a perfect man, but he was an example to me on how to treat his wife. And if you want to look at a true example of a father, we look at God. And that's, you know, Jesus said, I look to my father. My father and I are one. And when I look at God, I look at Jehovah God. You know, the Bible said that his name is Jehovah. There are many who say they are God, but there is only one true God. And so, you know, the Bible talks about God the Father, which is our example for being a godly husband. And so, you know, I only had a picture of my father. And I know that many of you, when you grew up, you did not have a father that was an example on how to treat his wife or how to treat your mother. And so you got to realize that what you have to do, if you did not have that picture or that example, then you look to the father. And also, if you're a little confused today about the picture of a good husband, a good father, then you need to find a picture of someone that loves their wife, loves their family, and is a true example. And so, the only real true picture I had was my father, and he was like God. In the way that he treated his wife and his family. So when we look at God, the Bible said that he is Jehovah. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. In other words, the husband is to be a picture of righteousness. My dad was a righteous man. I never saw him smoke or drink alcohol or be unkind to my mother. He led us in prayer. He did the right thing. He was not a perfect man, but my father was a righteous man. And so the husband, you husbands need to be a picture of righteousness to your wife, doing the right thing. Jehovah God is, he is Jehovah Shammah. He is our presence. And so I'm thankful that my dad was present in the home. I never remember of him attending any of my athletic events or maybe taking me fishing one time, but he was present there. I did not have to go to bed at night wondering, is my dad going to be here tomorrow? Is he going to be present with me? Sometimes he would go off and preach, but I knew that he was coming back. And there was a security in that knowing my dad was a presence. I never thought about my dad and my mother getting a divorce. I did not live with that dread. You know, one of the worst dreads that a child could ever have is the dread of a father leaving the home, leaving his mother and leaving them. And so my father was like Jehovah Shammah. He is present. You know, God is always going to be with us, regardless of what we do, regardless of what we say, regardless of how unfaithful we might be. God is always there with us. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, but I will go all the way with you, even to the end of the world. And so a husband needs to have a presence in the home where a wife knows that her husband is going to be there. He is not going to leave her there. He is a presence in the home. He is present there. And, you know, I've discovered over the years of marriage are three basic needs of a wife. First of all, a wife needs communication. She needs her husband to be present there with her. He's not carrying his cell phone or his computer into the conversation. A wife needs to know that her husband is there to communicate with her and to talk with her and to have conversation with her. She needs his presence. When she talks to him, he does not need to have a far away look in his eye, or he is not being preoccupied with something else. She needs to know that he's willing to romance her. He spends time with her. And one of the things that I've been able to do over the years is to romance my wife, and Gina and I have date nights and have time where we just go out and have a meal together, have coffee together. And so a wife needs her husband's presence. Sometimes he is there, but he's not actually there. Needs the presence of a husband. And the presence that a wife needs, the third thing she needs is security. She needs to know that her husband is not going to leave her. And if he does leave her, then he has provided security for her after he goes. So a wife needs her husband's presence. Jehovah Shammah is our presence. And he needs to, and then a husband needs to be like his father God, Jehovah Shalom, which is Jehovah Shalom is our peace. So the husband needs to be the peacemaker in the home, not just the peacekeeper, but the peacemaker, making a peaceful atmosphere in the home. I don't think I ever heard my father and my mother argue with each other, shout at each other. And so my dad was a Jehovah Shalom type of person, being a peacemaker, providing a peaceful atmosphere, and providing the kindness to his wife. So a husband is to be kind and considerate to his wife. He is to provide a loving atmosphere in the home. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32, I want to read another passage. Become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And so the husband is to provide that type of atmosphere for the home, a peaceful home filled with kindness and consideration, making a clean break, one translation says, with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk, being gentle with one another, sensitive, forgiving one another quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ's sake forgave you. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:22, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. So when we talk about how a husband should treat his wife, a husband should treat his wife with loving kindness and consideration. The desire of a man is kindness. So he is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He is to be kind and considerate to her. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, Husbands, likewise, love your wives. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You husbands must be careful of your wives, being thoughtful of their needs and honoring them as the weaker sex. Remember that you and your wife are partners in receiving God's blessings. And if you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not get readily answered. Well, so what does it say? A husband is to consider the wife as the lesser physical, having lesser physical strength and vulnerability. She's not as tough and strong as her husband, so she cannot combat physically with her husband, and that should never happen. And she is more vulnerable, and she wants to lean on her husband. That's what it means when a husband needs to be the leader of his family. He needs to lead by example, not by command. Jesus didn't come away, the Bible says, to do away with the commandments. But he said, love your wives. There's a new commandment, and that is to love your wife. Treat her with kindness, gentleness, consideration, not by being a dominating husband, one who loudly declares himself to be the head of this house. When a husband shouts out to his wife and said, you're going to do what I tell you to do because I'm the head of this wife, of this home, and I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to direct. I'm going to rule the roost. I'm going to wear the pants. I'm going to kick butt. I'm going to tower above. I'm going to loom over. If he loudly declares that his wife is to obey him and do what he tells her to do, that is not being the example. That is not being God's example of a loving, kind husband. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. As Christ loved the church. And so he is to be Jehovah Tsidkenu to her, Jehovah Shammah to her, Jehovah Shalom to hers. He is to be Jehovah Jireh to her. Well, who is Jehovah Jireh? He is our provider. That means that the husband is to be the primary source of financial provision for his wife, his family. Now, I'm not saying that women should not work outside the home. That should be a mutual agreement with the husband and the wife. And sometimes, because of financial obligations, it's necessary for wife to work outside the home. Or maybe she has a profession that the husband agrees with and says, yeah, you can, that's fine with me. You can work outside the home. I am thankful that my father was the provider in our home. My mother never worked outside the home, and that was a mutual agreement. And I'm thankful that I could come home in the afternoon and my mother would be there. There was some type of security about that. And I'm thankful that during these 52 years of ministry, 51 years of full-time, that Jean has never worked outside the home. And she's agreed with that. I've been thankful that I've been the primary provider. Of course, she works alongside of me. We work together in consensus, and I'm thankful for that. Somebody said, "Well, how does you and Jean operate?" I believe that we operate on a consensus basis. You know, Psalms 133 says, how wonderful and beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, or a husband and wife to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment that ran down upon the head, down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So Jean and I, the Bible said that there in Ephesians 5, that we are submit to one another, or we're to operate in consensus, in agreement. And that word consensus, it goes way back. It means harmony, concurrence, accord, unity, unanimity, solidarity, formal accord. And consensus means that we operate in agreement. You know, I want to give you an example of what consensus means. The last church that Gene and I pastored in New Mexico, according to the Constitution, bylaws, and according, I believe, to the Word of God, the way that a church is led, I had the authority as the pastor to make final decisions concerning the church. But that was not the way that I wanted to operate. And so we had a counseling group. I went to this group of men and women and asked for their counsel. And then, of course, myself and the two elders, we made the final decision. And I never went there and said, okay, guys, I want to know what you think. Then I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to make the final decision. But I tried to operate the leadership of the church by saying to my two elders, let's pray about this. What do you think about this? And very seldom ever did I say, okay, I know you guys may not agree with me, but I've heard from God, and this is what we're going to do. And if they did not have a peace about that, then I would say, well, let's table this. Let's pray about it until we can come into consensus. And that is the way that I led the church, not always making the right decisions or right choices, but knowing that we wanted to operate with consensus. And Gene and I, over the years, we have come in our marriage to a place of consensus. When we first got married as teenagers, I thought she ought to obey me in everything. And I just said, you know, you've got to obey me, and you've got to do what I tell you to do, what I want you to do. But I found out, when I look back at the picture of my father, that's not the way that my father and my mother operated. So we began to realize that if we were going to have a peaceful marriage, if we were going to have a peaceful home, then we needed to operate by consensus, and that I was to love her and she was to love me, and that we were to try to operate in a way that would be pleasing to each other, not just a way that would be pleasing to me or pleasing to her. And that is when a husband tries to operate with everything that pleases him, that will never make for a good marriage. Or if a wife wants everything to please her, wants her husband to have to do whatever she wants him to do, that will never make for a good marriage. There needs to be a consensus marriage. And that is where, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where a husband does everything that he can to please his wife, and a wife does everything she can to please her husband. And so the Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And the Bible said, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of this world, how he may please his wife. And there's a difference between, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, how she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. How she may please her husband. And so what is, somebody said, what is there any such thing as a perfect marriage? And I'm sure that most people would concur there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. But the nearest thing to a perfect marriage is the husband wanting to do everything he can to please his wife, and the wife doing everything she can to please her husband. And so when the wife, if the husband is always considering, how can my wife make me happy? And there is no way that that could ever be possible. If you're just in marriage to try to make your husband happy, or you wives, or you husbands trying to make your wife happy, that will never work. But you must do everything you can to please each other, considering each other, and not your own. So a husband is to lay down his life for his wife. It's, if it's all about him, it will never work. Or it's just never going to work. It's going to be, how can I bless my wife? How can I be a blessing to my wife? How can I help her? And how can I please her? That does not mean that everything is all about your wife, but how can you please your wife? So you are to be the provider of, the primary provider of your home, providing a peaceful atmosphere. You are to be, let me talk a little bit more about consensus. When Gene, I don't have a perfect marriage. We don't claim that. I'm not claiming to be a perfect husband. I do want to be a good husband. That is such a desire in my heart. And, you know, when I am not kind to my wife or I'm not a good husband, you know, the Holy Spirit, He works on me. And not long ago, I was unkind to my wife. And the husband, the Holy Spirit, He took me to the woodshed. And when I go, you know, I can be unkind to my wife, but when I go and start talking to the Holy Spirit, immediately I know that I have grieved the Holy Spirit by being unkind or inconsiderate to my wife. And so I've learned that that Gene and I need to operate by consensus. And what does that mean? That if we want to do something or make a decision, that we make it in consensus. She does not have to bow to me. I don't have to bow to her. But we have to be in agreement. And if we're going to give a certain amount of money, I mean, we both can give if it's a small amount. If we're going to give a large amount, we need to pray with each other about it. We need to bear witness to that. If we're going to make a decision about a home or purchasing of a vehicle, or if we're going to have guests into our home, we don't just do it on our own. We work with consensus. And me doing what I can to please Jean, and Jean doing what she can to please me. And so it's not one ruling over the other. Yes, the husband is the leader, but there's a major responsibility in that. If I'm going to be the leader of my home, if I'm going to be the leader of my wife, I've got to be willing to die for her. You know, I said to Gene in prayer this morning while we were praying and having our coffee, do you believe that I would be willing to die for you? That's an important question. You know, there's that is a huge question. And if a wife knows that her husband is willing to die for her, I believe she can follow his leadership. If it's all about what he wants to do and about how he wants. And if she sees that her husband has inordinate affections toward others, he has inordinate soul tie with other things, with, you know, the Bible says a husband is to leave his father and mother. If a wife sees that he has an inordinate soul tie with his mother, in other words, his mother has more favor than she has, or his fishing buddies have more favor, or his ball games have more favor. If she sees that he has inordinate soul ties with other people or other things, she's going to have a very difficult time following him. Maybe he has an inordinate soul tie with his job or his business, or with pornography, or with a computer. But if she sees that her husband has inordinate soul ties with others, then it's going to be very difficult for her to follow his leadership. So a husband is not just in authority by reading a few scriptures, taking a few scriptures out of the Bible and saying, the Bible says that you must obey me, you must submit to me. Yes, I believe that she will submit to you if you are willing to be the godly example that you're supposed to be, loving her and caring for her and cherishing her and nourishing her and not having an inordinate soul tie with someone else or some other thing. She will submit to your leadership and she will follow you. If you're willing to love her as Christ loves the church and gave himself for the church. Well, you say this is a pretty heavy message. And I just believe that even though I'm not a perfect husband, I don't have it all together. I've been in training for 57 years, and I believe I have something to say to your husbands. And sometimes you can get godly counsel, the right counsel, and sometimes you can get counsel that totally messes your marriage up. And so you have to be careful of counsel. What you need to do, husbands, you need to find a godly man, a godly example, a godly father figure, a godly husband figure that can speak into your life. And so not one that commands you. You know, God, the husband is not the commander. John 13 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And so we have to love our wives and be considerate of our wives. And, you know, God is not a domineering father. He is a loving father. Jesus is a loving father. And how can we love our wife? We love her by example and by consideration in decisions that we make in business and on our job, and we consult our wives, we consider our wives, we pray together, and we have a unanimity, we have a consensus. And so if you want to be a good husband, love your wife and love her God and love her children and love her parents and love her family. I'm going to say that again. If you want to be a good husband, love your wife, love her God, love her children, love her parents, and love her family. Love her family. And prefer one another. Defer one another. Be sensitive to your wife. Be tender to your wife. Love your wife. Be kind to your wife and considerate. And what is the desire of a man? The desire of a man is to love his wife by example. And I believe the number one example is to be kind to your wife. Be kind. And that's been a challenge over the years that the Holy Spirit has told me again and again, you be kind to Jean. You be kind. And you be an example of a godly husband and a godly father. You don't always get it right. But when you get it wrong, be willing to say, forgive me. Forgive me. And so my father, God, it was Jehovah. Jehovah Tsidkenu, righteousness, Jehovah Shammah's presence, Jehovah Shalom, peace, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the Father to be the primary provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. When I was sick, my Father prayed for me. I believe there's nothing more powerful than the prayers of a husband to a wife. When a wife is sick, that the husband prays for her. I know that other people can pray. And I believe the first thing a husband should do when his wife is sick is, first of all, you pray for her. Then you can call other people to pray for her, but you pray for her. You pray for her children. When I was sick, my father would pray for me. He might take me to a doctor afterwards, but he always pray for me first. So the father should be the primary source of prayer for his wife. So I get up early in the morning before Gina and I have coffee and before we have prayer together, and I pray for my wife. I pray for Gene Gentry. I pray for my children, my grandchildren. So he's to be the primary source of prayer, to lead in prayer. And a husband and a wife praying together is so powerful. I pray each morning, and then Gina and I have our coffee, our fellowship together, and then we pray together. There's nothing more powerful than a husband and a wife praying together, but the husband is to be the primary source of prayer, calling his family to pray. There was not a night I can remember that went by when I was growing up that my father did not call my mother and I to prayer. He is our primary, the father's to be, the husband is to be the primary source of prayer. And then, of course, God is Jehovah Nissi. He is our victory, our banner, our protector. So the husband is to be the protector for his wife. My father was the protector. And, you know, there was things he would say, no, you can't do that. You can't go there. And he was, I did not go to bed at night fearful that someone was going to break into our home, because I knew that my father was the protector of our family. And the husband is to protect his wife, not to abuse her, not to accuse her, not to be unkind to her or allow others to do the same. You are not to allow your wife to be abused by others. You're to stand up for your wife. You are to take up for your wife, and you are her protector. You are her protector. You are to be there for her and watch over her and make sure that she is safe. Make sure that she's safe. Watch for her. Watch for her relationship with other women. Watch for her not to be jealous of her having friends, but you're to watch for her. And the husband is to be Jehovah Nissi to his wife. And God is our father, our banner, our rear guard, watching over. So a husband needs to be the protector, one who watches for his wife. So husbands, I pray for you right now, in Jesus' name, that you will be the man of God that God has called you to be. In Jesus' name, I pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm talking to you husbands today. You say, well, what about my wife? I'll talk to you wives next Sunday, and I'll ask Gene to give me some more input concerning what I should say to the wives. And so, but you husbands, I'm praying for you today. And I'm praying right now that God would make you the husband, that you would be the husband that you're supposed to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And, you know, my desire in life is to be a good husband, is to be a good father. And, but first of all, my children do not come first. My wife comes first. My God comes first. And then next of all comes my wife. And there's a lot of couples that's inordinate. Their children seems to be the focus of their entire home. And then when their children grow up and get married, leave home, then so many times husbands and wives get divorces because their children were the center of their affection, the center of your home. My wife must always be the center of my affection. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I pray for you right now in Jesus' name that you'll communicate with your wife this week, husbands, and say, how can I be a better husband? And say to God, God, how can I be a better husband? And once you get this down, you won't need near as much counseling as you think you need. And conflicts, when a husband does everything he can to please his wife and a wife does everything she can to please her husband, that reduces a lot of the conflicts. But if it's just about us, I, then there will be conflict. So I pray for you husbands. Love your wife for Christ. Love the church and be kind. Love your God. Love your wife. Love her kids. Love her family. Love her parents. In Jesus' name. I know that Satan is out to destroy marriages. He's out to destroy marriages. So I pray for you husbands. And the best assignment that you will ever have in life is to be a good husband. I pray for you right now. In Jesus' name. Ask your wife how you can be a better husband this week. And you husbands, ask your God how you can be a better husband. I pray for you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. And I pray for those of you that don't know your God, those of you that don't know the Lord, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins. I pray for you right now. In Jesus' name, the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to pray for those of you that don't know your God. You've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. I'm going to pray for those of you that are not sure of your salvation. I'm going to pray for those of you that are backsliders far away from God. So would you say this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. You arose on the third day. Ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And with your strength and help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I encourage you, if you said that prayer, to find you a local church. Gene and I certainly believe in the local church. We're members of a local church. Or you can become a member of Breakout Radio Church. You know, my mom and dad, when I was growing up, provided me a godly atmosphere. Most every day our home was filled, and night was filled with godly preaching. Not just music, but godly preaching. And we had radio preachers. I guess that's why I love a radio preaching. I grew up in that atmosphere where I heard preachers preaching the Word of God, made an impact on my life. And so we provide a radio church for people that has that need. Many pastors are even members of Breakout Radio Church. If you'd like to be a member, you can go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and click on the donate button. Click on the Breakout Radio Church button, and there's a membership link there. You fill it out and submit it. And speaking of donations, Gene's going to come. We're going to pray for people that are giving today. We're going to speak a blessing upon you. And to donate, all you have to do is go to the to bpnradio.com and click on the donate button. You can use your PayPal, credit card, debit card. Or if you want to make a check, send a check, you make the check to Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. That's Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. Gene, we really appreciate the faithfulness of our church members that pay their tithes and give their offerings.
Yes, we do. We're so thankful and grateful for all of our members and our partners, because this is actually the only source of income that we have for our ministry. And we are so blessed to have you to be a part of our lives and Breakout Radio Church. And so thank you so much for sowing. We appreciate it so much.
Gene, we have, ever since we got married, we paid our tithes, haven't we? Tithes meaning 10%.
Yes, we have.
And we put God first with our finances. Every month we have to trust God for our income, because we don't have any set income that is a guaranteed income. And but we have learned that when we sow bountifully, then we reap bountifully. We have learned to give our tithes and our offerings, and we have proven God.
Yes, we have. God is so faithful.
And not only have we been able to prove God for ourselves, but proven God for our children and our grandchildren.
Yes, we have.
And we're thankful today for a God that is our source. He really is our source. And how do we recognize that He's our source? You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, God is my source, but how do we prove that? And the way that we prove He is our source financially, because we've got to have finances, is that we give our tithes and contributions.
That's right.
And if Breakout Radio Church is your primary source, if we're your pastors, if we're your primary source, then your tithes and your offerings should be given to Breakout Radio Church. If another church is your primary source, you give to that. But if Breakout Radio Church and Dale and Jen Gentry are your primary source, then you give, and God will bless you. And we are a testimony. So, Father, we bless the people right now. Gene and I,
yes,
just reach out and bless you that are giving today. We ask that God blesses you,
yes,
as you give with your tithes and your offerings and your contributions. We bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Yes, we bless all of you today, you and your families, and we just pray that God will bless you. And we love you, and have a wonderful day.
Gene, I love you. Thank you for being a wonderful wife. And next week...
Thank you for being a wonderful husband.
I want to be. That's my heart's desire, is to be a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather, and a good pastor. I just have this great passion, great desire. There's a lot of things that at the end does not matter, but we want to keep our priorities straight, and I'm grateful and thankful. We're thankful to be able to lead Breakout Radio Church, thankful for the opportunity that we have to minister every Sunday at Breakout Radio Church. And Gene and I have a local pastor. His name is Bill Hart. He'll be, if you're listening right now, to the 8 o'clock service, Bill Hart will be preaching next of all. And then, of course, this service will be rebroadcast at 10 o'clock. And then, of course, throughout the week at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. And then, of course, there's preaching throughout the day at Breakout Radio Church. 18 hours of preaching. We believe in preaching. And pastors and evangelists and prophets and teachers, they'll be on today. And so we're thankful. We're thankful. Well, I guess we better go.
We are.
It's about time to close church. And we just want to bless you. We just pray that God will bless you. May He cause His face to shine upon you.
Yes.
May His will, plan, and purpose be done in your life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go out and have a wonderful Sunday. We love you.
We love you.